I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Miles here is an electrician running wiring for this new home build.
Good morning.
Miles doesn't have time for funny business.
I guess.
Miles traded up to Sirius Commercial Auto Insurance from GEICO for customized coverage that grows with his business, all for seriously low rates.
So where's the GEICO surprise cameo?
Come again?
You know, like some big famous football player or something. He's going to bust through that wall, isn't he?
No, this ad is serious business.
Guys, get over here. You got to see this.
No, there's nothing funny over here. Sorry. Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys today. And, you know, yesterday we did, you know, a full mock draft and kind of looking ahead and whatever else, which I think is important. And sorry, I'm very behind on emails. So I'm going to get to them all. Just please be patient with me. Everybody came out and, you know, sent me, and I've gotten through a lot of them, but I still got a ways more to go. So I apologize if I haven't gotten to yours yet. When we started this show, I mean, this is episode 1287 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. I was like, you know what? I'm going to respond to everybody. Either me or my team, we're going to, that was like a commitment that we made. It's been very hard to live up to. Yeah, I don't know how long we're going to keep that going, but we're going to try. And so I apologize if it takes me a while to get to you. I'm working through. We're working through. So, but one of the things that I thought was very, very impressive, and even on social media, a lot of people say, you know, this is the biggest issue. This is the biggest issue. And whenever somebody makes a post or a show or a comment about, oh, well, this needs to be fixed, the first couple responses are, no, that's not the issue. It's this. No, it's not that. It's actually this. And so I kind of set back, and it was funny. You know, I laid in bed this morning. I slept in a little bit, and the wife was like, what are you thinking about over there? And I was like, oh, nothing. She's like, no, what are you thinking about? And I was like, what the 49ers' biggest issue is. I'm going through, is it the quarterback play? Is it the play calling? Is it the stubbornness? Is it the schedule? Is it the Super Bowl hangover? Is it the contracts? Is it the entitlement? Lots of issues that you could, you know, put your finger on and say, you know what? I think this is actually it. But that's not really what I came away from it with. I don't think it's play calling. And even though I think like Shanahan and injuries and all these different things kind of play into it, for me, and I know as soon as I say this, somebody's going to come out and, you know, if I ever post anything, one of the first responses is, I think Kyle Shanahan and the coaching staff knows better than you. And I'm sure they do. I'm sure that they do. But I'm going to say this. I think that the 49ers' biggest issue, number one, it's player evaluation. I don't think it's play calling. I don't think it's stubbornness or unwilling to change or any. I think it's player evaluation. And so I understand that Kyle and Kucerik and everybody knows better than me and John Lynch, I get that. So I went through and I came up with 18. I'm going to detail each one of them for you today. 18 examples, right? Anybody could throw something out there and say, this is it. This is it. But way back in my AP teaching days, what's your pieces of evidence? How are you supporting your claim? So that's what I'm doing. So I came up with 18 misses in player evaluation. And I'm going to go through each and every single one of them, from offense to defense to special teams. And it affects all three levels of offensive positions, all three levels of defensive positions, and all over the place in special teams. I think this is the number one issue. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Shout out from one of our producers, 49ers George 365, a hero. Thank you for your super chat and just your support and your friendship, man. I miss you, Brent. You and your wife are two of the greatest human beings I've ever had the wonderful pleasure of meeting. Thank you. He says, never give up, Niner faithful. No room for Devontae Campbell's out here in the 49ers content creation or Niner fandom. Stay faithful. That's what's up. Look at the picture. Look at the picture he's got attached. The man himself, John Brody. I love it, man. You are the best. And yeah, shout out to our executive producers that make this show happen. 49ers George 365, who you just heard from. Corey Robbins, David G, best of the best. I love it. So here we go. Here are my 18 player evaluation misses for the 49ers. And I feel like these are all supported. And y'all tell me where I'm wrong. And please tell me when I'm wrong. I'm not one of those people that I like disagreements. I like conversation as long as they're had in a respectable manner. You start insulting my grandma. Yeah, usually doesn't matter what you say after that. I'm not going to listen. All right, here we go. Offense. I counted seven huge. And again, you could. I wanted to count all the sub ones, and it would be more than 18. But keep in mind, there's only 22 players, really just 11 on each side. All right, offense. Let's talk Aaron Bates. I think he's a great dude. I think whenever he's healthy, he's incredible. He hasn't been healthy in 2 years. Ben Bartsch came in worlds better. The entire offense freaking marched like a beast. Everything was perfect. Then Ben Bartsch gets hurt. You send in Spencer Burford. Guess what? Way better. Not once, but in two separate games. And then what do? You go back to Aaron Bates. Offense stagnates. One of the worst performances I've ever seen from an offensive lineman, sandwiched by the previous worst offensive performance by an offensive lineman, Aaron Bates. And it's just, look, man, Ben Bartsch was way better. It wasn't even close. Spencer Burford, way better. Wasn't even close. And you go back to Aaron Bates. You go back to him. Might be the best teammate ever. I love what he does for the El Cerrito football team. I think he's incredible. I hope he gets paid lots of money. This is not an anti-Aaron Bates thing. It's Chris Forster cannot evaluate offensive linemen and who's better on game days. Chris Forster's a great coach. One of the greatest coaches the past couple decades in offensive line play. Great. Can't evaluate linemen for us to save. He just can't do it. He is so loyal, and he is so empathetic, and he's my favorite coach behind the mic. I can listen to his press conferences all day. I love the human being. What he's been through off the field with his wife, and they coach the Super Bowl the next day. Dear God, that's awful. Awful. Do I want Chris Forster gone? I do not. Player evaluation, not his specialty. Not his specialty. Not. He has been wrong at the left guard spot. Wrong. Bartsch was better. Burford was better. Still played base over all of them, and we're suffering for it. That game from Aaron Bates that we just saw against the Rams might have been one of the worst offensive line performances I have ever seen in my life. Ever. All right, next, Jalen Moore. Way better than Colton McKivitz, and it ain't even close. Now, you do have to give Colton McKivitz the nod in the run game, but in pass protection, which if we're going to pass the ball as much as we pass the ball 35-plus times in a winner-go-home game, why don't we have him out there? Now, I know Trent's not playing, but why, when Colton McKivitz has his terrible games, do we not even try? We just keep Jalen Moore on the sideline. He's better than Colton McKivitz. He's better than Colton McKivitz. He's better than Colton McKivitz. We don't even give him a chance. We don't let him even take snaps over there. Not in practice. Every single team in the NFL has a swing tackle. Not us. Let's go Ronnie Bell. Why the hell did he get all those snaps? You look at how many snaps Ronnie Bell got this year. Oh, this is going to break your heart, guys. Here we go. Jacob Cowing has 41. Ronnie Bell, 113. Now, I know he's on the practice squad now, and you finally made that move. I totally get all that. I totally get all of that. Ronnie Bell was never part of the future. No upside whatsoever. Can't play under the lights. Can't do this. Can't do that. We just stick with them. Imagine if we would have kept Jared Kingston. We need a guard next year. Could have sat all year. Could have been in the rotation fighting for a starting spot. He's gone. But we got Ronnie Bell. Oh, nice. And for those saying, well, we had all those wide receiver injuries. You had to keep somebody. Not him. Jacob Cowing has not had a single target since his 50-yard catch early in the season. Not one. Not even a target. Dude's got 41 snaps on the year. Offensively, that's it. Really? Meanwhile, Ronnie Bell, what if you gave those 113 snaps to Jacob Cowing? Would he have made more mistakes? I doubt it. Would he have provided some upside and playmaking ability? 1,000%. There's no doubt. Why would you draft Jacob Cowing in the fourth round if you're just going to give those snaps to Ronnie Bell? That was a terrible misevaluation. I don't think anybody disagrees with me on that one. Like, that's just stupid. That's just stupid. And right here, in conclusion, it's all Kyle Shanahan. It's not. And again, a lot of it is, and like, yeah, he has the final say. I don't care if you're anti-Kyle, whatever else, that's cool. I'm not asking you to change. That's not what this is. But from a position coach, you're the one that fills out. Now, the coach can come and say, hey, dude, you got to play this guy over that guy. But this is all levels, offense, defense, special teams, and it continues. So it's position coach, it's coordinators, and it's head coach. It's all of the above. And so, yeah, Kyle needs to be one that step in and whatever. And Kyle played wide receiver, and he spends all this draft capital on wide receiver. Cool with all that. But, man, I think it's bigger than that. I think we have a systematic issue that permeates the entire offense, defense, special teams, and we do not go with the best players. And I know somebody out there, well, they know better than you. I disagree. You ask, do you guys really think Ronnie Bell is better than Jacob Cowing? Is there anybody that believes that? If you're in the chat and you're watching this show, there's like 280 plus people watching right now live. Does anybody believe Ronnie Bell is better than Jacob Cowing? Is there anybody that believes that? Like, is that an actual belief that is held by somebody that might be a Michigan fan? I don't think Wayne believes that. I'll ask him Tuesday. Right here, Dave, he said, what's weird about the two, Bell was drafted way lower than Cowing. Yeah, and he just got opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, penalty, drop, didn't matter. They just stayed with them. All right, now let's keep going. Brandon Allen being the number two quarterback over Joshua Dobbs. I think that was a miss. I told everybody how it was going to go, not because I thought Brandon Allen was better, but because I understood Shanahan. And everybody's like, no, it's him. And I kept telling you, it's not going to be Josh Dobbs. But it was Josh. It wasn't. And he hasn't played. Josh Dobbs, does he even have a snap? He does not. Josh Dobbs has zero offensive. Like, that's a mistake. Whenever you've got a quarterback, Brock Purdy, that missed time several times, and Brandon Allen's played in three games. Now, some of them, you know, a play or two, but still, Josh Dobbs, man, imagine if we had one more win right now.
Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is, you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip, guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from Geico for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big Geico surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious Geico ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with Geico Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
We'd be in a different spot. I think that was a huge misevaluation. All right, let's go to my favorite player, Jake Brendel. I'm not saying Jake Brendel. This is the one thing we don't have proof of, okay? So this one, you put an asterisk next to it. Of my 18, Jake Brendel has played nonstop. The only two offensive snaps the backup center, Nick Sakel, has is two. Credit to Jake Brendel for being the ultimate Iron Man and never getting injured. That is incredible. But he sucks. And I hate to be that disrespectful to another human being. I'm glad that he's gotten paid, and I hope he gets more money. I want great things for the Brendel family. However, Jake Brendel doesn't do great things for the Niners family. He puts it all out there. He plays hard. I get all that. But look what happened when Banks went out. Offense got fixed when Barsh went in. Offense was still fine when Burford went in. You put Banks back in, we're terrible again. Why can the worst starter on the 49ers team not, why can't we see somebody else? We're up 30 points. We're down 30 points. Let's see Nick Sakel get some snaps. Why not? You spent a draft pick on him. You parked him on the roster for 3 years. We've never seen it. You go back to the preseason, man, that dude in the run game is a beast. Does he have flaws in the passing game? Sure. But so does Jake Brendel. Jake Brendel literally is the 35th ranked pass protector at center. There's only 32 centers. He's not even top 32. That means there's at least two backups that have played with a higher rating than Jake Brendel this year in pass protection. So now you look at Nick Sakel, who you said was as close to a gold helmet guy as you could get. And Nick Sakel might suck. Like, this is the one that I almost didn't include it because we've never seen it. Two snaps, and they both were like kneel downs. Why can't we see? Let us try. We're down 25 points on the road. Why not try? What more evaluating do you need for Jake Brendel in a 25-point loss in the fourth quarter? What benefit does that do? Why don't we evaluate and at least see what we have? And if he sucks that bad, Nick Sakel, well, come on. There's no way he sucks that bad. There's no way. We've seen the upside. And if you were wrong on the draft, that's cool. Oh, man. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. All right, let's go to Jordan Mason. Dude leads the NFL in rushing. At one point, the CIA, I think it was like week 3 or 4, led the NFL in rushing. CMC comes back. CMC is a beast. But then you go 100% snaps for CMC. Jordan Mason comes in for maybe one or two plays. Best run game, run plays we had all game whenever Jordan Mason comes in. Then you park his ass on the sideline for 2+ quarters. That's a misevaluation. He's not better than Christian McCaffrey. Even when Christian McCaffrey was playing at 80%, 90%, he's still not better. But that is a huge miss for somebody that can run the ball physically, which we needed in those games, and you didn't do it. Instead, you gave 100% of the snaps to CMC. And how'd that work out for you? Wrong. Misevaluation on Jordan Mason and his importance to bringing the physicality to this offense that was non-existent. Now, there's more, but these are the only ones that, like, offensively, those seven where I'm like, dude, this is what it is. Like, I don't think I'm wrong on those. And again, I know I'm wrong a lot of times. I know I am. Not on those. All right, let's go defense. I got five for the defense. Devondre Campbell over D. Winters. We don't need anything. Everybody knows that now. Charvarius Ward came out today and said, yeah, we knew he was going to quit, which is a weird thing to say. But yeah, we saw this coming. D. Winters, hyper-athleticism, energy, fight, wants to be a part of this team. And even whenever they asked D. Winters after the game about Devondre Campbell quitting, that dude was just like A++. I mean, he was like, yeah, I don't know anything about that. I was focusing on the game. Even though he was injured, you know, he would not throw shade. Like, D. Winters on, off the field, passion, energy, great teammate. You are wrong there. And even if you're like, well, Devondre Campbell had a couple good games, he did. You were starting DFF over D. Winters early. You started DFF over Curtis Robinson, who we never got to saw. He played one snap this whole season, and Curtis Robinson was one of the best linebackers in preseason, training camp, all those things. You never saw him. Instead, we put DFF out there. Now, credit to DFF playing hurt. That dude's tough as hell. Fred Warner's best friend. Amazing locker room guy. I hope he coaches. But, like, let's just be very honest. That dude was terrible at special teams all year. 100% guaranteed contract. He was terrible last year, too, by the way. Like, none of those guys are better than D. Winters. None of those guys are better than Curtis Robinson. I would have taken either one of those. Yeah, right here, act. He's like, yeah, wanted to see Robinson so badly. We didn't see him ever. One snap. Shout out to Robinson, Walter Payton, nominee man of the year. Amazing human being, Bay Area legend. Freaking stud. I love him. I really wish we would have gave him an opportunity. I really, really would be. Caesar right here. Flying to Miami on Friday. What a bummer job. Dude, you're going to be in Miami. You have a great time. You're the freaking man, Caesar. The wife had two vetoes this year. Like, we're always, it's funny. We go into collective bargaining agreements every offseason. Like, how many games can I go to? And she gets two vetoes. And so on the road trips, it was based around dates. She vetoed the Packers game because of Thanksgiving, and she vetoed the Miami game because of Christmas. But, you know, we still do have a tailgate party and all that stuff up on the side. I just can't go. So we're organizing that and all that stuff. So if you want to join there and you're going to Miami and want to do a Niners thing, head to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. I will not be there. But we've got some people in charge. They're going to take care of you. It's going to be a great time. So if you want that, that's over there. But yeah, she vetoed those two. So she gets two out of the nine trips that we had this year, road trips, and she vetoed those two. But I wish I was there with you, obviously. I freaking love Miami. If you guys know me, I like to party. I like the beach. What's not to like? You're going to have a great time. And there's a lot to play for. And we're going to talk about this a little bit in the second half of the show. Still a lot to play for. You could knock your South Beach Niners, which there's so many Niners on that team, and Mike and Jay, you knock them out of the playoffs. And yeah, you want your friends to have success, but not against you. Like, no. So Niners going to play hard this week. I truly do believe that. I do. All right, let's get back to defense and some more of their major player evaluation miscues that were wrong. Evan Anderson. Good Lord. Evan Anderson, I'm going to say, is our second best defensive tackle, might be our best. Like, him and Malik Collins. Now, Malik Collins plays a lot and has done a hell of a job, but, like, Evan Anderson's number two, and it ain't close. You play Jordan Elliott over him still, and it's just like, what the hell are you doing? Evan Anderson, even if you're just like, well, Jordan Elliott might be better. He's not. Again, I'm a Longhorn, and I keep saying that. Like, he's not. He's not consistently good. So many mistakes. Evan Anderson didn't play until week four, and even after that, he never got quality snaps until week 12. Terrible player evaluation, Chris Kucerik. Terrible. And whether that's on Sorensen, Kucerik, Shanahan, I think it's on all of them. And you even promoted T.Y. McGill over Evan Anderson after Evan Anderson was unbelievable. One of the best players you had, only played like 14 snaps. He didn't even get activated the next 2 weeks. Like, just T.Y. McGill? Really? 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 And so, like, I believe Evan Anderson's number two and should be starting. That's where I'm at. But we can't evaluate players. So instead, we put Jordan Elliott out there. And anytime 92 goes in the game, they're running right at him. Consistently. Every single team. It's on tape. It's on tape. Kyle Shanahan said he's our best run stopper on the D-line. That's what he said. He said that. Oh, man. Terrible. Terrible. All right. Let's stay on the D-line. Sam Okwuadu. Are you freaking kidding me? I told everybody. Oh, Shanahan knows better. Shanahan knows better than you. He's right. All those people are right. They weren't right here. They were not right on Evan Anderson. They were not right on Sam Okwuadu. They were not right. I kept telling everybody, Sam O is killing in training camp. Sam O is killing in preseason. What do? They don't even play him until week six. He got sub snaps, but not what he should. Now he's out snapping Leonard Floyd, and he should be. He should be starting opposite Bosa. Leonard Floyd should be used sparingly in pass rush situations only at his age. He's a much better run defender. Much better run defender. What do we suck with? When teams run the ball against us, we get housed. Yeah, that was wrong. All right, let's go secondary. Let's talk about Jair Brown. The fact that Hufanga comes back, defenses changes completely, but Hufanga hasn't been there. He's been injured. I get that. But you never ever took Jair Brown off the field. Ever. Ever. He played all the snaps, just like Jake Brindle. You never gave anybody a chance. Never. And Jair Brown had a great training camp. He did. Nick Sorensen continues to put him in the worst possible positions over and over and over and over to no avail. And you don't do anything about it. You just let that dude suck. Period. Nonstop. And so, you know, there was a point this game where everybody was hurt. I totally get that. But man, that dude, he's so bad. As soon as he comes in, busted coverages, miscommunications, back-to-back missed tackles, touchdowns allowed. Why don't we let somebody else play? Why don't you let George Odom play? Well, he's injured now. I get that. Why don't you let Tayshaun Gibson play? I'll take him over that, even at this age. I'd take anybody. Promote a practice squad guy. Like, if a player just is so bad, you have to try an alternative. You cannot stick with somebody that is literally costing you the season and never try anybody else. You had a trade deadline. Could have traded for a safety. Safety is cheap as hell. You can pick up safeties off the street. That's what we did with Gip. Yeah, sitting right here. So many player evaluation mistakes on both sides of the ball. You are correct. This is why it's my number one issue. And I'm not even done. Isaac Yiadom. I know he struggled early. Isaac Yiadom is one of our best corners. He's not our top two guys. It's very clear. The pecking order of corners based on play and how they play. Diamondor Lenore is in a world by himself. Renardo Green, teams pick on him. But man, his talent is undeniable. His ceiling is undeniable. His effort is undeniable. He's the number two guy in a world by himself. Number three corner is Isaac Yiadom. Number four, maybe Charvarius Ward, but he's been terrible against the run this year, and he gets burned deep a lot. So you have to roll a safety over the top, but Nick Sorensen doesn't do that. And so, like, again, what are your players' strengths and weaknesses? You have to understand that, and you have to mask their weaknesses. You cannot just say Charvarius Ward can't run deep anymore, or at least he has it this year. And I love Charvarius Ward, man. I freaking love listening to him. He's been my favorite player on this team, personality-wise, since he signed. I've said it so many freaking times. I love that dude. But he just can't cover deep. So if he can't cover deep, you have to do a cover two or a roll cover six to his side. You have to have deep safety help. The whole season's on the line, and you go cover three press against Puka Nacua? There's no safety on his side. Now, Tayshaun Gibson probably did go to the wrong side in the middle of the field and he got beat by the post over the top. But why are you putting him in a position against their best player that's not his strength? That's not Charvarius Ward's fault. You're doing that. Isaac Yiadom a lot faster. He could do that. So he fits better. I'm not saying, you know, Ward should be benched. I don't believe that. But I do believe, like, dude, if you're going to play him, you have to understand, why are you doing a cover three press look or a cover one look? Whatever. Both those are wrong. You did them both times to Charvarius Ward. You were asking for it. Like, if I'm Sean McVay, I'm just like, whoa, he's going to keep doing this against Puka? All right. We're going to get you. Just like Sean McVay did in week three, kicked our butt in the fourth quarter. 9 points. That's coaching. That's player evaluation. Yiadom's in there. It's a different story. At that moment, if you're running that coverage against that player, it's a different story. That's why I get so pissed off. Is it's like, man, why are you putting people in positions that they can't succeed? Why? I mean, do you want the Incredible Hulk being in charge of your anger management classes? No, that's not what he does. Hulk smash, right? So, like, understand what your guys can and can't do, and then call accordingly. Oh, man, Caesar, we should retire the number 27. Yeah, I'm with you. Bobo says, you know, Kyle surrounded himself with yes men that carry out his wishes. Yeah, he's always been about that. If he doesn't know him in the Shanahan loyalty program I've referenced for 8 years now. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here we go, Paul. There it is. There it is. That's what I was waiting for. I knew it was coming. Thank you, Paul. He says, if you know so much, why ain't you coaching? Shake my head. These are all things that I don't know. These are all things that have been proven. That's why I'm doing this. And I know somebody's going to say this. And you're right. Yeah, I coached for a decade. I'm not coaching anymore. I chose the family life. The amount of coaching takes a lot. I'm saying my job now, Paul X, awesome last name, by the way, is to point out the issues of the 49ers, positive and negative. And I'm not a negative guy. And I hope that we all understand that. If you've watched this show and you've been around this show, then you know. Not a negative guy. Very, very positive about the 49ers. I'm still positive about the future. But these are the issues. We have to look back. 49ers aren't going to the playoffs. Why, Paul X? Is because, in my opinion, it has to do with player evaluation. You clicked on my channel. If you disagree with that, that's cool. And I don't know. But yeah, like, I mean, this is social media. This is our society now, right? If you know so much, why don't you do it? They know better than you do. That's fair. Did Chip Kelly know better than me? Did Chip Kelly know better than everybody? Did Dennis Erickson? Did Jeff Saturday? Did all those other people? I don't think that they did. And I think Kyle Shanahan should be the coach. We'll talk about this in the second half of the show. But, yeah, just this idea of getting on and just saying, well, you don't know better than those other people. Look at Paul. I think he was messing with me. I love you, Paul. He says, I love you, too. I love you, John. I love you, man. Right here, John is in a Nepo baby. That's right. My dad swung a hammer for a living. He is construction. So he's a framing contractor in the Southeast, baby, in Georgia. So if I want to go swing a hammer, maybe I could get in contact with some people, but I does not. I did that all growing up. Every summer I'd go to Georgia and work framing apartment buildings, and man, I hated it. It didn't take long. I started whenever I was like 11, and then, you know, just doing side jobs with my dad or whatever. And then, man, by the time I went to college, I was like, dude, I ain't doing that. Like, I want to do something I enjoy, which was football. So that's why I became a football coach. Real quick, I didn't miss you, Don. You're the man. Detroit versus everybody. Enjoy it, buddy. I love it. Happy for you. I won't root for you, but I'm happy for you because you are a legend and so much respect for you, Don. Your consistency is unbelievable, and I hope all good things come to you. Having said that, I hope we beat you and knock you out of the one seed in your bye week. And your coach, who is awesome, I like Dan Campbell a lot, but he's got major issues. Going to play players and get hurt in moments. I don't want anybody getting hurt, but he's going to make bad choices. That's what I want to happen. I don't want Detroit to win at all. I can't root for an NFC team. Can't do it, man. But Don Burr, I really like you. look at this. I love this. Caesar, John watches more tape than Nick Sorensen. That is 1,000% confirmed. That is not debatable. My least favorite thing about Nick Sorensen is that he doesn't coach mistakes. So, like, whenever somebody makes a mistake, okay, let's just say DFF lines up incorrectly on the punt team, called for a penalty, rightfully so. I've pointed this out several times throughout the year on my breakdowns of the 49ers rush. We do every offense, defense, special teams play every single game for the past 4 years. They're all there. And I point out the lineup's wrong. Like, we're not lining up right. It's going to get called. So it gets called. Does Nick Sorensen tell DFF to scoot forward half a foot? He does not. He goes out there and does it again. Like, that's not Nick Sorensen. Sorry. That's Brian Schneider. Nick Sorensen, my issue is putting his players in bad positions over and over again and never making an adjustment that's positive. All right, let's go special teams. We're not done with special teams. I got six player misevaluations just in the past year. Darrell Luter Jr., we spent a fifth-round pick on. I actually liked him as a corner. Hasn't panned out at all. This dude had no clue to stay the hell away from the punter whenever he's the cornerback on punt return going against the gunner. He has no clue. That's what cost us the Super Bowl, mind you, that one turnover play, because he didn't know. So guess what? Do we coach that out of him? We do not. He comes back this year. Two more fumbles caused where he ran into the punt returner, or he got blocked into the punt returner because he doesn't know. Brian Schneider doesn't coach him. He did it in the Super Bowl, the most important game of everybody's career, cost him the game because we don't coach special teams. Come back this year. Do you correct that one issue with that one player? Nope. And the only reason why Darrell Luter's still not a cornerback on punt return is because he got injured. And then even after that, guess what? Nick McLeod, who I like a lot, sucks so bad at that position. Like, I like Nick McLeod, and I think he's a special teamer and a backup nickel. I think he could be that for a while. I think he's pretty good. Same thing. He's doing the same thing. One, he's too slow to even keep pace with the gunner ever. He's the worst I've ever seen do it. But he also gets really close to the punt returner and Jacob Cowing. Like, we're just asking for it to happen again. We don't coach those things out. Now, what's even more frustrating is that in my time judging the 49ers, I'm not saying we should have kept these players over this just for this one position, but probably would have won the Super Bowl if one of these guys was playing instead. Danny Gray, DeSean Jameson, Samuel Womack, all not good, great, great cornerback going against the gunner on punt return. Not good, great. All of them were. We don't do it. Danny Gray was one of the best gunners. DeSean Jameson, one of the best cornerbacks on punt return. And Samuel Womack, the best I've ever seen do it. He's unbelievable. Now he's killing it for another team. Yeah, they're not that good. But, like, we had the guys that could do it, but we can't evaluate talent. And we don't care about special teams. Not a priority. So we move on from those. Ugh. All right. Tabor Pepper, lock it up. Lock it in. Let's fight. He's had his worst season by far. Now, last year was his best season, but he has not done well this year. Very inconsistent with his snaps in the punt game, with his snaps in the field goal extra point team, with his coverage downfield. Now, you don't usually judge long snappers by what they do downfield, but hasn't been good. He's been bad. Now, is there somebody better than that? That's not what I'm saying, but I'm just saying that's bad. All of the kickers we signed off the street are better at kicking field goals than Jake Moody, the highest drafted kicker in the NFL, mind you. All of the punters that we have signed off the street in preseason and regular season are better than Mitch Wisnowski this year. Mind you, he's the highest drafted punter in the NFL currently. Now, I understand the injury, and I know Mitch was great last year, but why would you sign him to an extension? I mean, that dude's making a lot of money. We've had two kickers off the street, punters off the street that are better than he is. It's just talent evaluation is bad. Pat O'Donnell's better than Mitch Wisnowski this year. There's nobody that can argue with that. Yeah, Pat O'Donnell, you know, had a touchback when there was no returner back there, and that was stupid. But, man, we pinned teams down within the five-yard line twice, and then they go on 13-plus play scoring drives against us the past 2 weeks. Ugh. Tatum Bethune, terrible in special teams, can't play in space. That was in his draft profile by everybody, myself included. That was in the preseason and training camp, can't do it. So what do? Let's put Tatum Bethune on every single special teams play, every single special teams unit when he can't play in space. The dude is a run gap stopper only. So you're going to put him on kickoff where he's got to play in space? Can't do it. You're going to put him on kickoff return where he's got to block in space? Can't do it. You're going to put him on punt return where he's got to block in space? Can't do it. Going to put him on punt team where he's got to block and then go tackle in space? Can't do it. Hasn't done it. It's been terrible all year. What the hell, man? What the hell? So, those are my 18. those are my 18. Randy says, super rant. And so, me laying in bed and Miss Chapman saying, what you thinking about over there? That's what I was thinking about. And I was listing them off in my head, came into the office early, and I just started typing them out. And I was like, okay, I don't want to put any ones on here. Maybe you got to take the Tabor Pepper one off because there's not another snapper. But good Lord, man. Good Lord. Just, I think that's the issue. And so this leads us to the next part. What do the Niners have going forward? What is the goal? What are the things that you can accomplish in 2024? You still got three games. Number one should be talent evaluation moving forward. That should be number one. Let's get some young guys some snaps and see what we got. What are we building for the future? But I know Jake Brindle's going to play 100% of the snaps because we're idiots. And I love Kyle Shanahan. I do. And I think he should be the coach moving forward. But God bless. Learn how to evaluate what you got and at least see what else you can do. Oh. Now, good news. 12 Days of Christmas over at MyBookie. Off the charts. While other books make promises, MyBookie delivers. This holiday season, the deck is in your favor with MyBookie's 12 Days of Christmas. Festive lineup and can't miss opportunities for bettors to cash in. Risk-free Thursdays, NFL bets that you could bet, and if you don't hit, guess what? You don't lose any money. Super Boost and free bets are out there as well. Weekly casino giveaways, it only costs 50 cents to spend on bet soft slots to enter. I'm telling you, at MyBookie, it's not just about taking your bets, it's about giving you the tools to elevate your game with the road to New Orleans, bowl games, Christmas Day sports betting, NFL action, NBA doubleheaders. It's your season to win. And with the 12 Days of Christmas, which starts on December 19th, so don't wait, lock it in today. Use promo code 49ERS49ERS with your first deposit. MyBookie will give you a little extra to start your holiday hot. There's a reason MyBookie has been the go-to bettor and the betting sports book of the 49ers Rush podcast for 10 years. 10 years, guys, they have been doing this. Whether it's UFC, NFL, college ball, basketball, you name it. Now, rollovers do apply, and if you have questions, make sure to ask their customer service. They are A++. But whatever you bet, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Shout out to my man, Nick Parra. He's the freaking godfather. He's awesome. Seems like we're loyal to the wrong people, honestly. I really don't understand the fact that we don't value what every fan points out as a need. I mean, we're not coaches or GMs, but we're also not blind. Yeah, yeah. We see the offensive line. When you have three bad offensive linemen out of five, which the 49ers have had, Aaron Banks, Jake Brindle, Colton McKivitz. And yeah, sometimes there's a positive with Colton McKivitz or Jake Brindle, or if Aaron Banks is healthy. But you could count the amount of times that those three have played well on one hand. On one hand. On one hand. And so, you know, I think that's kind of, you got to do what you got to do. Right here, Sin. The decision to trade Debo must come from the top. He's got to go. Yeah. The Debo, and yeah, you talk about like force feeding Debo in the Super Bowl. You talk about force feeding Debo in the situation where, you know, this last game with the game's on the line. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. It's a lot. Now, there still are some 2024 goals still left. You play the spoiler role. I think that that's important. You're playing against Miami this week. Yeah, you could ruin their playoff chances. They're just outside the playoffs. You beat them. Not necessarily that knocks them out with their conference and division games still, but they can't win their division, but they can get one of those wild card. Like, that's important. Like, you play spoiler. You knock Mike McDaniel out, man. Maybe I love him. If it's funny when people ask me, like, okay, you could, if Kyle is gone and I get a lot of these DMs questions. Like, let's just play the hypothetical. If Kyle was gone, which he's not going to be, who would you want? I'd want Mike McDaniel if I could have pretty much anybody. Runs the same scheme. I love Mike McDaniel. I think that, you know, he has – his personality is unbelievable. His story is unbelievable. I think he's awesome. But I don't care how much I love him. You got to beat him, and you got to ruin their season. That's just the way sports are. Lions, you knocked them out of the first round bye. Eagles might pass them. They'll have, you know, get into tiebreakers and all that crazy stuff. But, yeah, I want to do that. I do. Do I like the Lions more than the Eagles? Yes. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, Bobo. Ben Johnson, he ain't coming here with our O-line. Jeff Ulbrich, DC, 100%. I'm with you. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind Ben Johnson. He'd be on my short list for sure. But you're going to have to change everything. And Ben Johnson, with this line, can't do what Ben Johnson's done in Detroit. You can't. You just can't. It's completely different. It's built on something different. It just is. So, yeah, I think that's huge. And then Arizona, the last game of the year, I don't think that's going to matter for really anything. But we're going to be there anyway because we're part of the faithful. We go to Arizona every year. It's a short trip for us. That Arizona chapter is awesome. So 49ers Rush roadtrip.com. If you want to come party with us, it's going to be a blast, man. Arizona is always great. It's nice to get out there in the winter anyway because the weather's always great. Now, what's funny is, you know, I put this out on Twitter and social media. The 49ers boom bust seasons continue. This is what's crazy. The 49ers have been to the NFC Championship game or not made the playoffs. Those are the only two options for the 49ers for 22 straight seasons. You have to go all the way back to Steve Mariucci, who lost in the divisional round. I think it was 2001 or maybe 2002. We lost in the divisional round. After that, it has been no playoffs or you make it to the NFC Championship. We are all in or all out right here by ZL. He says, are we completely out of the playoffs? No. You'd have to win three games, and then you'd have to have like five-way ties and whatever else. It's probably down to like a 3% chance. So even if you won out, you've got to have so many other things happen. So mathematically, it's not. But no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, like, here's the thing. Those 22 seasons, this is what's crazy. We've had three Super Bowl appearances. No Super Bowl wins, obviously. Seven NFC Championship appearances. 15 times, no playoffs. So it's like, 2 years, no playoffs, NFC Championship. 2 years, no playoffs, NFC Championship. Now, here are the head coaches during that time. Steve Erickson, I think the worst, or Dennis Erickson, sorry. I think he's the worst head coach in 49ers history. I know there's some other ones. You had Nolan, the father. You had Singletary. Neither one of them made it to an NFC Championship game. You had Tom Sula come in after Singletary got fired. Then you had Harbaugh come in. He made it to three consecutive NFC Championship games. Then they chose to go Tom Sula after the Harbaugh fight and, you know, making fun of Jed in the locker room and all that stuff. And anyway, Harbaugh, he's got a shelf life. I love him. Everybody loves him. But dude can't last anywhere more than like 5 or 6 years without just total setting the place on fire. Tom Sula, awful. One of the worst. It was bad, but it wasn't his fault. He was put in position. He got Nick Sorensen. He got put in position where he could be successful. Then you had Kelly, one of the worst years ever for the 49ers. And then Shanahan, who's been to four NFC championships. So in 22 years, Harbaugh made three. Shanahan made four. Tom Sula, Singletary, Nolan Erickson made zero. I think the historical context matters when we talk about these head coaches. The boom or bust, I don't know how I feel about it. I like that our team's always involved deep in the playoffs, not always, but 7 out of 22 years. One-third, one out of every three seasons for 22 years we're in the NFC Championship game is impressive. But no rings makes it hurt. Now, what I thought was funny today, Today is Kyle Shanahan's birthday. Happy birthday, coach. And the 49ers official Twitter account posted like a graphic, like happy birthday, coach. But like their happy birthday things they presented all year is sponsored by Los Cabos, which I thought was pretty damn funny because, you know, Shanahan and pretty much every team, you know, in the West, when their season's over, they all go to Cabo for a little like downtime. But yeah, I thought that was rather funny. Anyway, but happy birthday to the coach. I did think it was funny. It was sponsored by Los Cabos. Now, Diane Rossini of The Athletic put out a piece today and just wanted to read a couple quotes. Now, I'm not like real big on insider's access and blah, 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 blah. However, she was spot on the entire time for Trent Williams and the Brandon Ayuk deal, whether that's agents she's attached to or whether that's somebody in the front office or Jed York or I don't know. Don't know. I don't like breaking that down, but I do think that she does a great job. She said in regards to Brock Purdy, quote, they're firmly committed to Brock Purdy as their long-term quarterback, end quote. I would say, duh. Yeah, some questions have arisen over Brock Purdy. I totally understand that. But yeah, man, like Brock's not going anywhere. And what made it even more interesting, Skylar Thompson, the quarterback for Miami, who we play this week, just got waived. Now, why does that matter? That means that Brock Purdy is now the only quarterback that was drafted in 2022 that is still on the team that drafted him. Every quarterback, I think there were nine or 10 that year. Every quarterback is no longer on their original team. And the only one, Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick of the draft, number 262, Brock Purdy, probably about to get a pretty big contract. We'll deal with that in the offseason. Now, in regards to Kyle Shanahan, this is what she said. Quote, Shanahan in his eighth season with San Francisco isn't going anywhere. The mutual commitment between the coach and the franchise remains. Ignore all the rumors. The organization fully believes in his ability to lead the team forward, even after a rough year. End quote. I would also say to that, yeah, duh. But I just in case, this is one of the only shows you watch, which I doubt. Support all the content creators out there. I think that is a great thing. Plenty of room for everybody. Just puts a little gravitas to the idea that Shanahan's not going anywhere this year. Now, you have another year like this next year, then the conversations will begin. The hot seat and all that stuff and whatever else that's out there, I think that's where it's going to be. But the main focus in all things moving forward, Jacob, we need to have a great 2025 draft. I am with you. I am with you completely. In fact, you know, I keep telling everybody I'm taking a day off. Tahoe got hit pretty hard. So in the morning, me and the kiddo, we're going to be driving up to Tahoe bright and early. We're going to ski. We're going to sleep. We're going to ski and we're going to drive back. I'm going to get back Monday night. And then Tuesday, whenever I wake up, guess what? Draft season is upon us. We will start the 49ers Rough draft book. If you want to help with that, reach out to us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Say, hey, I'm totally down for helping with some draft research or whatever it is you want to do to help out. We could always use more help. We're a small mom and pop store here. And so if you want to help, we would love to have you. And we would love to have you. So anyway, that's what we got going on. You guys are awesome. I think today was a fun show. And hopefully, I don't know, maybe I was able to convince or support my claim that I think the 49ers biggest issue is player evaluation. We can draft well and we have good depth and we can spot guys, but we just don't give them opportunities when they're earned. Instead, we keep with guys that have very little upside and are consistently below average because we like them. And I don't like that, but I do like y'all. You guys are incredible. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health,
Go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Steven is an owner-operator truck driver.
Hiya, folks.
Steven traded up to Geico for serious commercial insurance for both his truck and cargo, all for a seriously great rate.
Ooh, I got one.
Got one what?
A good pun.
This isn't one of those ads.
There's something wrong with that forklift, but it's a giant fork you can't lift, right?
We take commercial insurance very seriously here, Steven.
I'm only semi-serious, huh? You get it?
I see what you did there. Get more with Geico Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.